And this is actually step 10, building a community around your ideas. I'm going to talk a little bit about doing a deep dive into this idea of building an online community. So this is going to be the online community deep dive in terms of the ideas. So what are the entry points for starting a community, right? How do we start that process? And basically, we want to start thinking about, well, what's an online community for our brand? And when we really think about that, we're talking about some kind of place, some kind of structure, and a place where people are meeting based on our core ideas. So it's not just going to be a generic community. It's going to be the ideas that we have stated to the people that we're working with, our customers. And we want to build a community around those places. We want to have a place to have discussions based on the ideas that are ours. So it's not just a generic place. And that's kind of why if you're thinking of using a Facebook group for this, a Facebook group will work, but it doesn't go with the fact that you're doing something unique and you're building this place where people can talk about the things that you're telling them are relevant to the way you do things. It's a place where people make sense of your philosophy. And so everything that you do about this is customized. Everything that you do about this is going to be yours. And so the place is important, but the way you do it and what you're trying to do there is really build people talking about the things that you are setting forth as the way they should be doing things in the market or the niche. You can have several layers to your community. And in terms of how people become part of that place. And there are always going to be different entry points for you to build a community. You can build them for your customers. You can build them for your prospects. You can build them for both. But you want to start thinking about, well, what's the entry point? How do people get into it? How do people come into it? And before we decide on the where or who, we've got to decide on the what. So what is the community going to be about? What is it going to, what are we trying to define there? And that's really going to be defined by how people come in. Are you going to have the entry point around one product that you create, an information product? So in other words, you're going to sell an information product. You're going to give people access to a community based on that one information product. Is that how they're going to become part of your community? Will you have an entry point based around a set of products? So in other words, it's more of a brand. But even though it's around the brand, it's your brand identity. And it's the ideas that the products you create are really fitting under and what they promote. Will you have an entry point to be around something that you do? So in other words, maybe you have a community of surfers, or maybe you have a community if you're doing business of local marketing consultants, or maybe you have a community based on writers. What is the entry point around what you're doing? Is it based on a practice? Well, you have an entry point based around your membership. So in other words, the only people that can become part of your community are the people that are paying you monthly. Again, that's what kind of makes it a little difficult if you've got, and you're trying to do this in a Facebook group. There's no automated way of being able to pull somebody out of your community if they stop paying you monthly. Will you have one community or several? So in other words, maybe you're going to have several different communities. You're going to have them up and down this list. And, are you going to have one community and it's just going to have several layers? So in other words, let's say that you're going to have people in all of these areas, single product, set of products, practice, continuity products. They're all part of your one community, but they're layers to your community, and not everybody gets access to everything. There's so many different ways of being able to do this. You just want to make sure that it's going to be right for your business. And there is something that I do want to talk about, and it's an important concept to this, and I call it monetizable balance. And you have to be mindful about whether or not your community will be worth your time to maintain monetarily. Anyone can start a community and start discussions. And the one thing that when you start a community, if you start the discussion, it's expected you're going to be there, but you've got to make it worth it for you to be there. And so if you're going to do this, especially as an information marketer, you got to make sure that your activity, supports additional sales, or it supports continual sales. If it doesn't, you have to be very careful about how much time you're committing, and how much that community depends on your time being spent there. Monetizable balance is really the key to understanding that, and there is no right or wrong answer for any one person. You have to determine how much your community is going to be worth you're putting in a lot of time if it's not going to produce any income for you. So you can have easily have an active community, and it's going to take away from you monetizing. That's not what you want, especially if you're going to be marketing information. Your time is really best spent in production. Your time is going to be best spent in marketing. Now, if your community contributes to those things, then it's going to be worth your time. So in some cases, the community that you build, especially if you have a continuity product, is going to be giving the people who are paying you monthly an opportunity to feel better about what it is you're doing. But now that may not be the case. Some communities are not necessarily even based on interaction. So you've got to really determine what building this community is going to be worth to you in terms of how it helps you monetize. Now, it's going to always be more difficult if you take back activity. So, let's say you give people free access and then you all of a sudden you want to change it all to paid. That's hard to do because people are not even going to be, they're not going to be used to paying you for this, and they've already gotten started interacting, but you don't want to then say, okay, well, now you have to pay, right? That's hard to do and maintain credibly. And so all of this is what really dictates how you let people come in. So it comes back to how are people going to become part of my community where they're going to be discussing the ideas that I want them to discuss to be better at what it is I'm teaching them. And so if you make your community a selling feature, is it going to lead to future monetization? So you have to be able to answer that because that's really going to determine how much time you spend in and what you're going to promise in terms of being part of your community. Monetizable balance. So how do you add people to the community? What are you going to be doing? If possible, if you're providing paid access in any way, whether it is continuity, whether it is one time, you want to auto add people. You do not want to be in the habit of manually adding people to a community. If you can. Now, in some cases, that's not going to be possible. And if you're doing a Facebook group, that's especially not possible. If you have a paid community and you're using a paid platform, you can auto add people based on having gone through your shopping cart, making a payment, and you put them in your community automatically. So if you have, let's say, a continuity-based access, you also want to auto remove people. So in other words, they decide they don't necessarily want your membership. They don't want to continue with your monthly plan. You want to have them auto-removed. You can do that through Zapier. You can do that through direct integration. It doesn't matter how you do it. You just want to make sure that somebody stops paying you monthly, have them auto-removed. And this is not for you to be mean. It is a privilege that you want to save for the people that are paying you. And you can do it through applications such as Zapier and Integrately. And so when you start thinking about that, that's going to affect where you build it. If you choose a social media platform, you or an assistant are going to have to stay on top of it so that when someone stops paying, you remove them. And so, because typically, you can put on a thank you page that when somebody becomes part of your product, you give them a link where they can go and apply to join your Facebook group. That's easy, right? That's just a link. You can set it up so that when the person becomes part of your group, you can ask them questions and they have to, show you their email address. You could do that with them. But the harder part is when somebody stops paying and then you have to remember to take them out of the Facebook group. Either you have to do that or your assistant has to do that, but you've got to stay on top of it. So again, the easiest thing to do is going to be able to auto add them. So try to, if you're going to use a paid community, make sure that the person is auto-added when they become part of the community. Community, selling from the start. Oh boy, you do have to do this. And this is going to lower the number of people that you're going to have in your community, but I will tell you, so what? You need to be selling from the very beginning. And it doesn't matter where you're building your platform. You want to make sure that you are sales messaging at the beginning, because you do not want people to get used to all this free content and all this free activity and all this free attention from you, and you're not going to message them about things they can buy. Not a good thing, because if you try to do this after the fact, people are going to resent it and they'll leave the community anyway. So you might as well get, now I'm not saying that you just blast people with your links, but you do want to make sure it is established fact that when you start your community, part of being part of your community means that you're going to monetize, because that's what allows you to become and to be to the people that are in your community what it is that you are to them. You can't be to them anything of any value if you've got to worry about where you're going to be able to generate income. So again, start from the beginning. You know, if you have sidebar, if you have certain posts, wherever you build it, make sure from the very beginning that people understand that you're going to be sales messaging. And if you try to do this when you haven't been doing it, people will resent it. And so you can set up, and I use the word post here, but the post, word post, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be in a place where you use a post. You want to make sure that people get discounts. You can do links in your sidebar, which I just talked about. You can do demonstrations of things that people can buy. You can use how to use some of the things that you were selling. Now, again, it doesn't have to always be, you know, purely a sales advertising kind of post. You can do things where you are really giving people something more than just giving them an ad to buy or a link to buy. You can do, I mean, you're doing people a favor when you give them a discount post. When you put links in your sidebar, you're not necessarily giving them the main content, but you're saying to people, hey, off to the side, here's something valuable for you. Demonstrations. You're actually showing people how something works, how to use it. Very important. So again, you don't have to be a straight advertisement, but you really should be doing monetizable posts. And then in whatever you do, whatever your platform is, make sure it's set up so that people can have discussion. And so typically, if you can make it so that people have discussion with each other, they will like that a little more than if you're going to be, you know, just kind of dictating the whole conversation. Let's talk about some online community platforms. Let's talk about some of the platforms. Now, there are several free and paid alternatives to build a community. You can buy forum-based software, and that comes from your website control panel. So if you have a website, you have cPanel, there are plenty of places in there inside of, you know, whatever your software section or Fantastico, whatever you're using these days, you can build a forum from those areas and it doesn't cost you anything to build them. There are free tools in WordPress such as BuddyPress that will allow you to build basically an online social network. That is very easy to use. It is free to do. And it is, again, it is robust enough to do what it is you need it to do. Again, you can use social media sites. Facebook, LinkedIn, there are others. This is probably not going to be your first alternative if you're going to build a community, especially from the standpoint that we're talking about the fact that you're going to be, you're going to be looking to auto-add people. Now, use something like BuddyPress, of course, you can auto-add people. It's very hard to auto-add people. I don't think there's a way yet for you to auto-add anyone to a Facebook group or to a LinkedIn group, right? That does not exist yet. So you can also kind of build what is an informal community around the content of your blog. There are people who do that. There are people who build informal community basically in the comment section of their podcasts. So this is something, I mean, if you don't want to, you know, fool around with trying to build what is basically a membership site, you can just build a community around your content. And you can use paid community platforms. Mighty Networks is one. Circle is one. There are others. These are not the only two. You can build website comments around your product. That's another way for you to do it. So in other words, people are going to have these discussions on the site where they bought your product, and it's going to be based on, it's going to be product specific. Whatever it is, the key to everything and making it work is going to be that you make sure that people are notified when there's new content and that they participate. They're encouraged to participate. Right, that's if you're going to use any kind of community platform. Of course, you know, people do get notifications if they're on Facebook or LinkedIn. They get that in their email. But if you're going to have a paid group, you've got to make sure that the notifications are such that when something happens, people get notified. Right, so it's very important that that happens. You do need to create a content schedule and some kind of engagement schedule. And so you want to make sure that you're producing on a regular basis. So if you're going to produce once a week, one long post, do that so that people know what to expect. And again, remember the idea around building this community is based on building around your ideas. So you do need to be in there on a regular basis. And quite frankly, if you're going to do engagement, it should be no less than once a day, right? No less than once a day. If someone posts in your community, you need to try to respond to all new posts. This can be difficult if you're building your community around YouTube. The bigger that you get, the more subscribers that you get, the more people that are watching your videos. But in general, if you're building a private community, it's always going to be doable for you to be able to answer your posts. And I would say, you know, if you know that people expect that they're going to look at their post the next day after they see it, you want to do your post at the same time every day if you can. Now, you don't want to do it outside your normal schedule, because typically people are kind of, they grow to expect your interaction, and you, if you can, try to stick to that. Now, the other thing about this is discourage support requests inside of your community. You know, if somebody has a support issue, don't answer support issues in public, right? Encourage people, hey, John, please write me in support. Now, there's a reason for that. You're not just being mean. First of all, when you are in a community environment, you will not have, that person doesn't even have your full attention. And so you're more likely to write something that you may or may not even address the situation fully. You want to make sure that if somebody, one of your customers, has a concern and they're going to bring it to you, hey, you know what? Write this to me in support so that I can give it my full attention. It's really that simple. And you're not just saying that. You need to mean that, because when somebody writes you in support, give it your full attention though. But don't do it inside of your community. Don't do it in response to a post. You know, if a post comes there, it's support related, say, hey, you know, John, Betty, please write this to me in my support at this support address. One of the things that you need to do is to create meaningful interactions. That's what we are attempting to do. Now, the goal for your community is for people to interact with each other around your ideas, right? You don't want the input being all of yours. So if there's no interaction, and you need to work at this, this is not going to be easy, especially if you want it to be built around the things you're teaching people. It takes time to build, and you're going to have to engage people. And, you know, there's strategies for you to do that, but you want them to talk about their experience with your ideas. That's the goal. If it's around your principles, now, I mean, it can be around anything, right? It can be around, just general practice. I mean, people like to talk about those things. It's just not, this is really going to build your business. And if this is going to build up your brand and your business, you might as well participate in somebody else's community, right? And just engage that way, or just do a Facebook group and not really be too concerned about it. But if you want this to build up your principles, you want that experience to be around your discussion to be around your principles. Whenever you provide input, direct people back to your core principles, if you have them. Now, you should be developing them, But you want to develop, direct people back to someone has an issue. Whatever your framework should be, you should be able to go to them and say, and you don't have, now, you don't have to be, well, go to my principal seven. You want to be able to say, this is why I talk about this one thing. This is what I think you should do. So whatever your principles are, try to be directing people back to those principles. When you talk to about tactics, make sure they're based on your principles. So sometimes you're going to be talking about specific strategy. When you do that, make sure they're based on your principles. Find a way for you to share what you are learning based on your principles. Again, all of this means then that your principles are real, they're worth interacting over, you're doing them, you're learning from them, you're experiencing them, they're worth other people's time because they're worth your time. Now, it doesn't mean that people are going to run and start, you know, start answering your posts, but you are setting the stage. Remember, this is going to take time, and you want it to build your brand. So you don't want to do it just to be doing it. Link to your content. Link to your content when it's published, or you want to make sure it's auto-published to your blog and your content. In other words, you got a blog or your podcast. Make sure that gets automatically posted to your community, however you do it. Right? So you're writing to a blog, you got a podcast episode. Don't forget to post that to your community. It should become part of, and if you can, make it so that it gets auto-posted there. One thing you can do, and I suggest you do that, is bring in surprise guests, right? Add surprises and bring in guests. Make your community special by having guests appear. Make them appear exclusively inside of your community. Do discounts and premiums that are specifically the only way people get them. So they got to be part of your community. Offer referral-based discounts and premiums. And look for ways to do gamification. Now, this is a little more of a different kind of strategy. You know, there are badges and participation and contests, all these things. But you got to understand some of the principles around them before you just start doing them. So in other words, it's not the platform, and a lot of good platforms do them, but you also want to be able to do it in any platform, right? So you don't want to be tied into the platform, because it's really the strategy around gamification that makes it work. And you do have to understand them. So you may want to take some time to really understand gamification so that you can bring them to any platform that you are using. And also incorporate viral contests. Whenever you can, you know, you can use some kind of viral contest or viral software in order to get the community engaged and to get more member involvement. There are platforms and programs like UpViral that will do that for you. So in other words, you can use those platforms, and they will help you to be able to do these things with your community so that you can get more member involvement when you have a post. And so these are the things that you want to think about as you are building out your online community. And again, probably the most important decision you're going to make is how you can let people enter. And then whether you're going to have it in a paid platform or whether or not you're going to have it in a free platform, and then make sure you have monetizable balance. You know, making sure you have monetizable balance. Okay, so any questions? Any questions based on what we covered here? Any questions?